their hometown opportunity to speak this afternoon. And we very much support the kinds of suggestions that AOC is going to make to you. It seems to me that when we talk about establishing a 20-acre minimum lot size in a marginal lands category, the people I run into are going to say, well, how come when we've already got a 20-acre exclusive farm use zone? What's the difference? Why is marginal land requiring the same minimum lot size as a EFU zone would? 10 acres would be a much more realistic kind of lot size if we're talking about those areas which are not the best for farm use. Since there's already been conversation about the lot of record bill, it seems to me that if we are going to let people use land that they have been paying taxes on for a long time, we ought to look at the land itself and not the ownership. I don't know why we would want to tie the lot of record provision to who owned it 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. Most land use ordinances go with the land, not with the people, and I think we could achieve the same kind of results by not trying to figure out who was the owner at some particular time and not preclude all future sales of that kind of property. The income standard is going to be a tough thing for the county to administer. Perhaps the suggestion from Washington County would work, where we can have some kind of standard that doesn't require asking someone what their income was and what their neighbor's was and so forth. We are not going to be able to do this legislatively. The county is working, the planners that are left working in Clackamas County, half what there were 2 years ago, now work 4 days a week, have a 20% pay cut, and are barely keeping up with the subdivisions in the urban area, the planned unit developments, the commercial and industrial uses. So whatever happens with a marginal land proposal, were we to utilize that provision, would be the obligation of the property owner to come in and say, I want to be classified this way, and for him to fulfill those kinds of requirements that the legislation might require. If this bill is to help counties and local people who are frustrated with the confusion over the EFU statutes, don't do it for me or for Clackamas County. We don't need it. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Lorna Stickley, Multnomah County. Stickle? Did I butcher that?
Stickle.
Stickle.
Yeah. Thank you. Members of the committee, I am Lorna Stickle. I'm the planning director for Multnomah County as of this week. next week might be somebody else, but anyway, I'm just going to make some very general comments. As an acknowledged county with several thousand acres of rural lands, despite what some people may think, we're not all urban, that would be subject to this bill, we are very interested in the outcome of it, and we did testify before the Senate committee on the provisions of what was a different bill than what you now see. We definitely support the efforts to deal with the subject of marginal lands and with tightening up EFU statutes and the lots of record question. We do intend to submit further testimony on the details of the bill at your further hearings. In general, however, we feel, one, that it's questionable that this marginal lands definition and the allowed uses within that will really provide much flexibility for rural zoning. Considering the amount of mandatory tightening up of the EFU statute that is given in return. Secondly, and I hate to keep harping on this reduced county staffs, but you wouldn't be hearing it from so many people if it weren't true, that the criteria that are used in this bill for definitions, such as the income test you've already heard about, and the implementation methods, such as the notice requirements and a lot of record verification tests, will make it very expensive for us to evaluate the use of these criteria. And thirdly, and I think this is a philosophical difference that I have, and I think a lot of county people have, is that the use of statewide zoning and plan criteria of this kind of specificity within 36 counties requires the use in many cases of what really are arbitrary and inequitable definitions. And there are a lot of them in this bill, and we will testify later on that. When you use single income tests and lot sizes that are applicable in all of these various situations, and at one particular moment in time, because we are talking about this year, we're not talking about 5 years from now, And then you throw in the question of leased versus owned land, and we have a very difficult time even determining on a year-to-year basis what's leased and what's owned. This bill doesn't really define whether there's a difference between them. I suspect there isn't intended to be a difference. I believe something like 40% of the land in the Willamette Valley is leased, not owned by the people who operate it for farm purposes. It just makes a very complicated situation. Those are my general comments, and as I've said, we'll be submitting more detail at your further hearings when you've had a chance to look at the more specific parts of this bill. We do support the concept of looking at marginal lands. The AOC position that you may hear about later is that marginal land should be addressed, but it should be addressed in more general terms than what you see here. The Land Conservation Development Commission should be required to address the more precise standards, perhaps through their administrative rule standards, and then with subsequent review of county ordinances. I have no objections to tightening up the EFU ordinances of various counties. Now, that's assuming, of course, that my county doesn't have any of those loopholes, in spite of the fact that the golf course that was mentioned earlier is not being developed by Multnomah County, but by a third-generation farming family on Sauvie Island. This is their proposal, and we are having to evaluate it. So long as there are more equitable and less arbitrary methods of getting at this marginal lands question, then I would support tightening up the EFU standards, because I believe that there are some deficiencies in it and in the assessment tests that are income tests that are applied for getting the assessment. So that's really all that I had.
Representative Bradbury.
Two questions. One is, a lot of times we hear that what we do is way too general, and we can't leave all this discretion to LCDC, and then people turn right around on us and tell us that what we've done is too specific. Now, I don't know in this bill what's, I haven't, you know, really studied it enough to know how I feel about it, but what do you propose that we do? Just say to LCDC to address the issue and leave it at that?
I didn't come prepared today to tell you what you should do.
Okay.
But if that's the kind of input that you would like, I'd be perfectly happy to come back at your next hearing and make some suggestions about how the commission could be directed in perhaps more than just general terms to look at this question. It's what I suggested before the Senate E&E committee.
What other question?
Okay, Bradbury.
In someone's description of this bill to me, they said that it would do quite a bit for marginal lands in eastern Oregon and southern Oregon, and not much change in the Willamette Valley, because we have such good soil types in the Willamette Valley. I don't know that there are any counties here from these other areas like eastern Oregon and southern Oregon. But we have now had testimony from Washington, Multnomah, and Clackamas, which fits right in with where it does appear not to do a great deal from what you're saying.
That is my preliminary assessment of this bill as far as my county is concerned, and I really don't want to speak to other counties on that issue.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman? President Parker.
Could you elaborate just a little bit about the effects of Multnomah County of the contiguous lot legislation from last session?
A lot of records.
Lot of record.
Blood relative, contiguous, how that's, has it worked or not worked?
We have used the contiguous lot issue in our statutes now, so we require it anyway. As far as the lot of record, that's a qualification to the lot of record issue. We only had maybe one or two of those come through since that bill has been passed, and so it's hard for me to say whether it's really had any effect or not.
Mr. Chairman, further question, then you haven't had the problem of who to give the building permit to?
No.
Which brother? They both
no.
Come up next to each other?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Mr. Chairman?
Appreciate
it. I'm wondering, and I'm totally ignorant about these things, I have a difficult time understanding this thing about land use, but is it possible that in a bill that's designed for marginal lands, that of course it doesn't do too much in the areas that it are not marginal, like the Willamette Valley. Is that necessarily a criticism? Maybe it's not intended to do much for you.
Well, you may be right. You may be right. We have certainly tried to use the exceptions process primarily as a method to get at the marginal lands question.
I certainly would like to, any suggestions you have that you'd like us to. I certainly have liked your contributions previous sessions. I'd certainly like you to come down and tell us anything you could to help us make it more appropriate for Multnomah County.
All right, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Laura, you just mentioned the exceptions process. Do you think that we could make that more palatable, or exceptions process? I don't mean to put you on the spot.
Boy, I'll say, Jesus, seat's getting real warm here. whoa. It has been difficult to utilize the exceptions process. I would say that we have gone to great expense through the generation of several drafts to get as far as we did with the exceptions process. I think because of its limitation to built and committed, which probably ought to be accepted, and the other test of needed, since it's awfully hard to really justify a need for rural residential type development, it hasn't really been all that useful. But as I say, we have worked through the process, and we've got a lot of land in the county that would be considered accepted that would probably meet this marginal lands definition. So we have used that type of a process.
Lauren, I think this committee would certainly welcome your continued input as one of the so-called game players. For the information of the committee, now that we're all here, I would like to say that we'll be continuing a hearing on this next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. We'll also have a hearing on this bill on Friday, Friday at 1 o'clock. However, the Tuesday night hearing, we're going to be taking general testimony like we've been doing here. But hopefully by Friday, we're going to break this legislation into various categories and handle it the same way we did in our other land use bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Troop.
I think Lauren is used to the hot seat. She's also a member of the Water Policy Review Board, aren't you?
Well, as soon as I get confirmed, yes. Which hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, Lauren. The clock is ticking away. We have 10 minutes to go. Gordon, I know you have a lot of amendments. Would you prefer to go on to now, or do you want to go on later? We have the Farm Bureau and Lois Kanegi have signed up. I suppose we'll all be continuing on with this process.
How about the out-of-towners?
We have all the out-of-towners. Those are the only three that are left signed up. Now, I don't know, would you prefer to go up now or later? All right. Scott, how much testimony do you have? Can you get it in 8 minutes?
Several amendments prefer to vote later.
All right, later. Lois, do you...
I prefer to go up later also.
Is there any other party that wants to be heard for 5 or 6 minutes?
Can my attorney speak to me for a few minutes?
Representative Hill.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I was just going to suggest we do wait for amendments later, because I'd like an opportunity to read the information we have and understand the bill before we get into detailed amendments.
I would like to ask everyone to bring their amendments in, hopefully by Monday, so that we can have them distributed to members for our Tuesday evening session. I know there are going to be exceptions to that, but I'd certainly like to have those amendments in ahead of time before that meeting, and then we can be more prepared. With that, we'll close the testimony for today on Senate Bill 237. I'd like to remind the committee we're meeting on Friday at 1:15 instead of 1:30. Meeting adjourned.